comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
Hi, folks, and welcome to The Kevin Smith Show, whoever you are, wherever you are, all around this beautiful place we call Earth. Thank you for being here at The Kevin Smith Show. Talk radio like nowhere else on the planet. We're here because you matter and because you have a right to know. Back in 2008, I became aware of a most amazing incident. It was an encounter with extraterrestrials. It was not a friendly encounter. In fact, it turned violent. As a matter of fact, it happened on more than just one occasion, resulting in serious wounding and or death of some of these alien creatures. Sounds far out, right? The person to whom these events happened was, for a brief time back in 2008, the producer of The Kevin Smith Show, and I later had him as a guest on the show back then in 2008 to talk about some of the UFO activity over his ranch. The ranch being just southwest of Phoenix, as he described on the radio that night. During that show, I had his videos of these UFOs posted on my website, and some of you probably will remember that show. But he asked me, at that time, not to talk about the violent encounters. He wanted someone to investigate these incidents professionally. He said he would do a show with me about all of this when the investigation was completed. Well, Robert Bigelow sponsored the investigation either in 2009 or 2010. I believe it was 2009. His team spent a month or so camped out at John's Ranch. John is the man's name. Ex-FBI and CIA interrogators interviewed John and his wife thoroughly and then professionally analyzed their interviews. A professional forensic team gathered the evidence and sent it to several labs for analysis. Well, now the results are back from the labs, and you're going to find out about it all right here tonight. Unfortunately, John will not be with us. I phoned him to invite him to join me on the air, and he told me that he had already given exclusive first rights to be interviewed to another show. Well, I was a little surprised to hear that because I thought that was what we had agreed, but it's unfortunate. But what is fortunate is they do not have first rights, middle, or last rights to what I know of this story. I've sat on this story since 2008 because John asked me to. Tonight, you will know because you have a right to know. Tonight you can watch the show for free, and I recommend you do. Just go to kevinsmithshow.com and click the link to watch for free. It's a huge link right in the middle of your screen. There's no way to miss it. It says, click to watch free tonight. Okay? We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show, and what a gangbuster show we've got for you tonight. Before we get into it, let me give you several little quick brief announcements here that are important. First of all, if you're not watching the show, you need to. Now, we've made it free for you tonight. Normally, you have to be a member of our members area in order to get that feature. That's one of the goodies of being in the members area, and only just one of the goodies. Okay? So some of our audience are in parts of the world where it's an ungodly hour right now. They are asleep, and they are members, and so that means when they wake up and it's convenient for them, they can watch this show because we capture it. That's another goodie, all right? So if you miss a show, you can always watch it within the next 24 hours. I recommend that you watch this show tonight because you are going to see some things that you can only just imagine and through a glass darkly. If you just hear me talk about them and describe them. So go to the website, kevinsmithshow.com, and click where it says click. I mean, you can't miss that. It's huge. Click to watch free tonight. Okay? Now, another thing. Later in the show, I don't know how much time will be consumed by me giving you all of this information. But if we have the opportunity, later in the show, I'm going to open up the telephone lines. And when I do, I certainly hope that you will avail yourself of the opportunity to participate in the conversation about all of this. Because this very well could be one of those really pivotal stories. All right? Now, I've already given you some of the information in a nutshell, right at the top of the show. But I want to introduce you to John Edmonds. John is a friend of mine. He's a former producer here at the Kevin Smith Show, just for a very brief period of time. I don't know, 6 weeks, maybe 2 months. John was the producer of The Kevin Smith Show in 2008. And John was not fired from The Kevin Smith Show. He was not asked to leave. He simply informed me that it was more than he really felt capable of doing, and he thought someone else should take the reins and produce the show. So I thanked him for his service to the show, and we've remained friends. John has a ranch southwest of Phoenix. Now, I'm not betraying any confidences here, because when John was on the show with me as a guest on August the 19th, 2008, John made the statement that his ranch was southwest of Phoenix. So just to give you a little bit of an idea of what is southwest of Phoenix, if you're watching, can see there's a map up now, and we see Phoenix up in the upper right corner, and you can see all the city streets and everything. And look southwest. In fact, just look south in any direction, south, southwest, southeast. Basically, very, very shortly after you leave Phoenix, very soon after you leave Phoenix, headed south in any direction, you get into open desert. Phoenix is desert, but it's not open desert. It's developed desert, okay? And so it's really very sparsely populated out there south of Phoenix. John's ranch is southwest of Phoenix. And I have been a guest in his home at the ranch on a number of occasions and have spent several days at his ranch visiting, and I've had the opportunity to visit with him and his wife, as I say, on several occasions at their ranch. The ranch, just to give you an idea of what it sort of looks like out around there, this is just a picture of just a slice, just a piece of what's there at the ranch. But believe me, we could do a 360 degree and you would be amazed at what's out there. But I have spent some time there with him and his wife. And on one occasion, John told me the story that I'm going to relate to you tonight. While I was there in his home at the ranch, and I don't know if you'd call it the living room or the den or the great room or the family room. It's a big room. There's a fireplace there, and it's very nice. Very nice. Well, to get into the flow of this, let's go back to August 19th, 2008, when John was a guest here on the show. John was telling us about and talking to us about the fact that there are UFOs over his ranch quite frequently. And he provided us with some video. Now, he's a professional videographer, among other things. And so these are high-quality videos. I posted those videos on the website so people could watch them while we were talking about it. I believe this was just before we began with having a TV channel. And so the only way you could see them was to watch them. Go to my website and just watch them. And so that's what we did. And then I used some still shots from the videos. Now, tonight I've put three of those still shots together in one shot, and I want to share those with you. What you're looking at is not six UFOs. These are two UFOs, but it's three shots of these two. And I've just piled them all together. The video showed these UFOs changing, morphing, and we have some still shots that show the sort of incredible morphing that they were doing, particularly the UFO on the right. Now, this thing, to me, does not look like a vehicle. This looks like either a ball of energy, or perhaps something organic, biological. I don't know, but it was self-illuminated. The illumination was coming from inside of the UFO, whatever that is. There were no lights shining on it. And so what I've done is I've just taken some still shots out of the video. The video was quite incredible. At times, there were flashes of light coming out of these UFOs at times. It even looked like a strobe light, but not like an airplane strobe. I'm talking about like you would expect to see light strobing from a pulsar. Very rapid strobing. But most of the time, it looked pretty much like what we're looking at right here. And if we sort of string these out, these, now you're seeing it in the order that it happened on the video. The interesting, two interesting things about what he showed us, now interesting to me. In one case, the very first picture on the left shows the two UFOs. The UFO on the right is brighter, and it looks almost like a planet that has been struck by an asteroid. I mean, it looks like it's destroyed on one side. In the second picture, the one in the middle, the second UFO no longer looks destroyed. It looks complete. It's a complete round circle. Now, John said that it was hard to tell with the video but with the eye you could see that this was more of a sphere, where here it looks sort of like they're flat, like a coin. But he said it was like more of a sphere. But the UFO on the left now has a notch in the lower right side at about the 5 o'clock position. Now that's very, very curious, because that looks exactly like these notchback UFOs that we have seen in NASA films. And then we take a look at the one on the right. The picture on the right shows these UFOs. He has zoomed back away from them. And it appears that the UFO on the left is now morphing into that look of a planet that has been struck by an asteroid. It looks like it's beginning to deform in that way. But the one on the right has now split into two fairly equal parts. And if you look real close, you can see a light line of, I guess, energy that joins the left side to the right side of this UFO that's now split. Just weird. Very, very strange, strange stuff. Well, we had John on, and he talked about all of this, and we showed the video, and we showed the pictures, and we had people call in and talk about it. But John had asked that I not mention anything about this violent encounters situation that he had had. He had told me while I was visiting with him and his wife, and as a matter of fact, the three of us were there in the, I'll call it the great room, together. And John was telling me the story, and his wife was adding some things about her reactions and so forth. And apparently it was very frightening for her. And John showed me this long samurai sword that he's got. And he was telling me about these little grays that had come in, and they were in his house. They were trying to abduct, and I forget, it was either him or his wife. And anyway, a confrontation breaks out, and things didn't go the way the grays planned. John used the samurai sword and severely wounded one. Perhaps we could say he killed it. Hard to say, because, you know, people say these things are biological computers. So I don't know if you would say he killed it or he just dismantled it. But anyway, that's what happened. And this happened on more than one occasion. And John, this happened right there in the ranch house. And John told me that he had cleaned up the mess after that and had saved some of the blood and some of the skin tissue of this little alien. Now, he had asked me not, this is in 2008, and he asked me not to say anything about this. He didn't want to go on the air with it. He wanted someone to investigate this quite thoroughly and professionally. And so I agreed that I would set on that. I wouldn't do anything with it. So then the time came that someone was investigating it. And that was Robert Bigelow's group. Now, if you're not familiar with Robert Bigelow, I think you probably are, but if you're not, he's a billionaire. He is in the space exploration business, amongst other things. He has a great interest in UFOs and anything having to do with extraterrestrials. And he has funded a number of projects to investigate and to research these things. Well, Robert Bigelow's team came out to the ranch southwest of Phoenix. And according to John, they were camped out at his ranch there for about a month. He was interviewed by some really professional interviewers, he and his wife, John and his wife, interviewed by some very professional interviewers, ex-FBI, ex-CIA, and then they went over the interview results with a fine-tooth comb. They analyzed the statements. They analyzed the body language. They analyzed everything. And according to John, they came to the conclusion that it was true, that he and his wife were telling the truth. A forensic team, part of the Bigelow team, collected the material, the blood and the tissue, and after about a month of investigation into this and other very strange instances of possible extraterrestrial visitation at the ranch, and by the way, folks, that whole desert out there, is sparsely populated, but the whole desert out there sees strange things. Now, in case you're wondering, none of the mountains in this map are South Mountain. South Mountain would be to the east, southeast of what you see here on this map. And just barely off of the map. South Mountain, of course, I've shown you before, both with Walter Bosley and with Jeff Woolline. But this desert is sparsely populated, but there are people that live out there, and they see these UFOs, these strange things in the sky, quite frequently out there. So Robert Bigelow's team was busy with investigating these violent incidents in which there was some forensic evidence in the form of what John said was blood and skin tissue from these extraterrestrials. But they were also investigating other strange instances out there. What did they find? Well, you'll find out when we come back from this break.
To the Kevin Smith Show.
And welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. We're talking about this amazing, amazing story that our former producer, John Edmonds, had a violent encounter with extraterrestrials in which he seriously wounded or killed. I'll let you decide what you think about that. Well, you decide what you think about it all. But seriously wounded or killed at least one of these extraterrestrial beings, whatever it was, saved blood and tissue, and then Robert Bigelow's group comes to investigate. Well, the stuff was sent to the labs, several labs, and there is a guy by the name of Dr. W.C. Levengood who is part of this story, because Dr. Levengood apparently is sort of coordinating, and I may have this, I'm surmising this based on little bits of information. I don't have the whole story. I don't have all the details about this part of it. But apparently, Dr. Levengood is sort of coordinating getting these lab reports and assimilating them into a final report. But he got some amazing information from these labs. Dr. Levengood, about the blood, Dr. Levengood says, well, it's pure hemoglobin with what appears to be segment rods in it. In other words, the cells in the blood appear to be segment rods. And he says, I've never seen anything like it. And what about the skin? He says of the skin that it looks segmented. It looks like segmented grass, except it's not grass. One of the labs, all of the labs came back with the same result, that the proteins in the samples could not be identified as anything. Are you listening? Listen carefully. Could not be identified as anything they had seen before, either plant or animal or human. Now, one lab did say something rather interesting about all of that. That's interesting by itself. One lab added this. The samples sent to them did match the samples they had tested over the last 30 years of fluid specimens they had tested from various cattle mutilations across the Southwest U.S. Where is Phoenix, Arizona? It is in the Southwest U.S. Now, this lab said they believe that there is a 100% compatibility, that the two samples were from the same creature or creatures. So, is this hallucination? Well, I would think not. I know John, and I don't think John hallucinates. And you might say, well, yeah, but, you know, it's anybody's subject to hallucinations under the right conditions. Well, okay, that's true. But if it's a hallucination, Robert Bigelow's team bought into it, and that includes the ex-FBI and ex-CIA agent and the forensics experts. If it's a hallucination, if that's what it is, how did they get blood and tissue samples? And you might say, well, that could be anything. No, it can't. It can only be something that originates on Earth if it was something hoaxed. If it's something hoaxed and you break it down into its constituent parts, it proves to be of earthly origin. And these labs concluded that, you know what? We've never seen anything like this. This protein does not match. It does. The proteins in these samples do not match with anything animal, plant, or human from this planet. So what does that leave you? Process of elimination, what does that leave you? That leaves you with it's extraterrestrial. We have laboratories saying this stuff isn't from here. Whatever it is, it's not from here. Now, I found it pretty interesting. If you get into this and you read very carefully, you find in the material that and in the report that this extraterrestrial blood has fibers in it. Now, I found that pretty interesting. Ladies and gentlemen, If I stopped right now, this is a scoop. If I stopped right now, I've just told you something you haven't heard on other radio shows. If I stop right now, I've told you things that you probably will not hear on other radio shows. Maybe one other. But there's a lot more to this story than this story by itself. Now, I've already told you, I know John personally. John was the producer of this show in 2008 for a brief period of time. I've been to John's ranch. I know his wife. I've been there on a number of occasions. I've spent several days at his ranch. I sat in his ranch house while he and his wife told me the story of this violent encounter with extraterrestrial entities of some type. They're not from here. Some people say, well, they're EBs, they're not ETs. Okay, they're still extraterrestrial if it's EB. Well, we'll say it's non-human. And since none of the blood or tissue could be matched with anything known on this planet, I think we can safely say that's extraterrestrial. I've already told you about this, and if I stopped right here, this would be a plateful. I mean, this is enough. It's going to start people talking and discussing, and of course, the self-proclaimed, highly gassed, genius experts that do exist on the internet are going to jump all over it and start trying to say, well, that's not true because of this, not true because of that, it's not true because of this. And, you know, these guys just need to stick a cork in it. Because I know these people. I heard it with my own ears long before Robert Bigelow did. I was at the location. I talked with a ranch hand who said he had seen the evidence. I know him personally, too. So is it hallucination? No. Is it a hoax? I already said, and you know, if you didn't get it now. This is something that can't be hoaxed. Because if you, the only materials you have to work with, if you are perpetrating a hoax, the only materials you have available to you are Earth materials. These materials, this blood and this skin, didn't match anything, plant, animal, or human, on this planet, according to the laboratories. Of course, then we have the folks who say, well, I don't know if I want to believe that or not. I don't care. Do not give a rat's rear. I'm just giving you the information. Do with it what you want. But there's more to this. More to this than just what we have already learned. What more is there? Listen to this. This is Dr. Levengood speaking. Blood as we know it does not contain segmented fibers. Normal antibodies that are positive or negative determine the type of blood, which is something totally different, and this made the sample highly unusual. It is very peculiar because the cell parts look like joint grass, but are not grass. The cells in this blood look like strands of grass, but you've seen the kind of grass where it grows a little bit and then there's a little knot and then some more grass grows in a little knot. That's what he's talking about. And he's calling them fibers. He says, I'm very excited about the samples, which contain tiny segmented fibers that are not cloth. And he said, they look like joint grass, but they are not grass. So the cells in this blood are look like little fibers. Some of you are already jumping to a conclusion because you already know what it might be. The skies over all the Western world are filled frequently with what have come to be known as chemtrails. And even though officially nobody talks about it, officially governments deny it. And yet we can find the legislation that permits it. We just don't know why. Well, this stuff eventually falls to the ground, and you might remember back in the late 80s and 90s, people were talking about after these chemtrails were sprayed that there would be this sort of angel hair that would, you know, angel hair, the stuff that you put on a Christmas tree, this sort of angel hair stuff would be all over the trees and shrubs and grass and would turn to a gelatin very quickly. People tried to get some of it and save it and send it to labs, but it turned to a gelatin very quickly. However, the stuff has finally been analyzed. People have finally been able to get some of it and get it to a lab and get it analyzed. And you're going to see some of that under a microscope during this next break. They have found that biological components have now been identified in the two ground samples previously analyzed on www.carnicom.com. Numerous red blood cells, white blood cells, and unidentified cell types have been found within the submicron fiber sample. Fibers. What could this be? Be sure you're watching. We'll be back right after this. Stuff we've ever talked about here on the show. Without any question whatsoever, this has to be some of this material has to be some of the strangest material that I've ever presented to you. The event is strange. The event itself is odd. Beyond the event itself being odd, there is also the fact that the samples sent to the lab turn out to be very, very odd. In fact, they turn out to be not from here. The samples have characteristics about them. The cells in the blood sample, which is pure hemoglobin, but not animal or plant or human from Earth, has fibers. The cell itself is fiber. It's a fiber. And the way Dr. Levengood described it sounds very, very much like what we just showed on our TV channel. Dr. Levengood has provided some micrographs. These are photographs taken through the microscope. And we can see in there are three micrographs here, and in the top micrograph, we can see these fibers in the blood sample. We can see a web of these fibers in the micrograph on the lower right. On the left, we can see the skin. No match with any animal or plant life found on Earth. And as I said before we went to break, we all know about chemtrails. We know that it's happening. There are places, ladies and gentlemen, where this happens virtually every single day. And the Phoenix, Arizona area is one of those places where chemtrails happen almost every day. Biological components have now been identified in the two ground samples previously analyzed on Carnicom.com. That's where this statement comes from. So it's talking about having analyzed some of the material from these chemtrails. And what they found was numerous red blood cells, white blood cells, and unidentified cell types have been found within the submicron fiber sample. Have you ever heard of something called Morgellons? There are people who call it Morgellons disease. But based on the research that's been done on Morgellons to date, I don't think it's a disease. I think it's an attack, possibly an invasion. The very first person to report Morgellons was in 2001. It was a lady who built a website and began to inform the public about this very terrible thing that had attacked her 7-year-old child. I can't remember if it's a little boy or a little girl, but her 7-year-old child. What happens is people who have Morgellons begin to have sensations of something crawling all under their skin. Eventually, lesions appear, and they erupt, and when they do, there are these fibers, like you saw during the break, fibers that come out of those lesions. And these fibers, they're very small, but they get long. They're some of them as thin as a spider's web. Some of them are clear, some are red, some are blue. And you would think, well, you could just reach over there and pull those off of that lesion, right? You got to tug, because even though they are as thin as spider's webs, they're hanging on for dear life. And what we saw during that break is these things are alive. And they're falling from the sky from chemtrails. Now, is it that whatever they're spraying up there is loaded with these things? Is that? Well, that's a possibility. It's also possible that these things are in our atmosphere now. And perhaps the chemtrails are pesticide for these things. It causes them, once they spray the chemtrails, possibly it causes these fibers that are living to fall to the ground. And when they do, you and I are subject to getting them. There's no cure for them. It's not a bacteria. It will not respond to antibiotics. Some people have identified it as a fungus, but it won't respond to antifungal medicine either. There is no known cure for Morgellons. Now, when people first started reporting this, doctors being true to form now, it was something new they had never seen. And if you want to scare the hell out of a scientist, bring the word new to the scientist. But in fairness, that's not all of them. Some of them, most of them, that applies. Some of them are very open-minded. But doctors, true to form, sent these people to go see psychiatrists because they thought they were imagining things. People would say, I can feel it crawling under my skin, all over under my skin. It's just crawling. And the doctors had no test to test for this. They had never seen it before. Remember, the first case to go public was 2001. That was 10 years ago. This is something new on planet Earth, ladies and gentlemen, fairly new. And so they sent people to see psychiatrists. Psychiatrists diagnosed them. Of course, a psychiatrist is going to diagnose you as being nuts. It's the main thing they do. And they would prescribe all kinds of things for these people. Counseling, of course, that's very expensive, in favor of the psychiatrist, of course. They would put them on drugs for anxiety, you know, anti-anxiety drugs. Some people got put in hospitals because the doctors didn't believe. I'm going to talk about that when we come back. Show you another slide, and then we're going to open up the telephone lines, okay? What is needed here is not for doctors to believe. We don't need doctors to believe anything. They're not supposed to be in the believe business. They're supposed to be in the science business. And in the science business, someone comes to you and says, this is happening to me. I have this symptom. It's not up to you to believe or disbelieve. It's up to you to go after the data. Find out what's going on. And if you can't come up with any information, then it's up to you to be honest about it and say, I can't find anything. It's not up to you to believe or disbelieve that they're telling you the truth. It's not up to you to believe or disbelieve that they're crazy because they're telling you this about this symptom. I mean, if everything else about this person seems normal, then what are you doing in the believe business? I thought you guys were in the science business, not the faith business. Morgellons is very real. People all across the United States and parts of Europe are infested with this Morgellons. It is a living thing. It may be artificial. I don't know. But it's alive, and people who are watching our show saw it moving on its own. And it is falling from the skies, particularly after some chemtrail stuff happens. And there are people, if you see pictures, you go onto the internet and do a search, do a Google or Bing or Yahoo search for Morgellons. It's Morgellons, Morgellons. And you'll see pictures. After you do that search, click on images. Pictures of people just eating up with this stuff, lesions all over them. And it's gross. These lesions have these fibers coming out of them. If you remove them from their host, you take them out, the little clear gel bulb in which they are housed at one end will harden to a crystalline structure. I want to show you some Morgellons fibers. Now, they come in various colors. The clear are harder to see, but one of these pictures in this montage shows you some clear fibers attached to red fibers. The red is not blood. That is a red translucent gel of unknown origin. But it is what feeds these fibers and keeps them alive and growing. Now, the picture up in the upper left corner looks kind of like grass, doesn't it? And what was it that Dr. Levengood said about this? The skin under the microscope looks like segmented grass, except it's not grass. Take a look at that picture in the upper left-hand corner. Does that look like segmented grass? It does. Is it grass? No, it is not. It is a Morgellons fiber. Now, whenever John Edmonds turned over these samples and they were tested in the lab, the results are what I've told you about. Dr. Levengood says, looks like segmented grass, but except it's not grass. Looks like segmented grass, except it is not grass. That was from the skin of one of these alien creatures. And again, how can I be sure they're alien? Because the samples came back from the lab with the labs saying the protein here does not match anything animal, plant, or human on this planet. That's alien. It's not from this planet. Okay? So there you go. Is it possible that this Morgellons thing is, if you will, an alien invasion? I don't know. We've seen a lot of movies, you know, where the alien takes up living inside a human body and then it erupts and it's always, you know, gory and terrible. And what if it's more like this in reality? I don't know. And I don't want to frighten anyone. I don't want anybody to panic. I want us to think about data nobody's presented to you before. And I want us to talk about it. I want us to think about this. The telephone number is 623-444-5889. In addition to the telephone, for those who are outside of the USA and outside of Canada, we have something called the Flash Message Feature. And the Flash Message Feature works like this. If you're not in Canada, you're not in the USA, we understand international long distance can be expensive. And so you can go to my website, scroll down till you see the picture about tonight's show, and right above it is the link that says Flash Message, all right? You can use that to participate in tonight's show. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yes, Kevin. This is Jerome from Pennsylvania.
Hi, Jerome.
You mentioned that John Edmonds had this violent encounter.
Yes.
My question to you is, how was he able to resist this encounter? Because most of the times, the people who have these encounters with Gray say that they just couldn't move.
Well, that is most of the time. And yet there are many people who have talked about, in fact, we've had some on this show, have talked about that after a number of encounters with these beings, they came to understand how you don't let them, how you can prevent them from paralyzing you. And Jerry Wills has talked about that. Bill Sparks has been on our show and talked about that. We've had a number of other people who have talked about it. There's a guy in Florida. I believe he's in Florida. He's been on this show. He's in the construction business. And they come into his house all the time. He's caught them on video. And we showed the video here on the show. But there are a number of people who have talked about how you prevent them from paralyzing you. And some people apparently can and some can't. His wife was terrified. His wife was absolutely terrified. John is, I'm just guessing, about 6'3", weighs close to 300 pounds, and that's not fat. And if he didn't get paralyzed, these guys would be in big trouble. But his story in that regard is certainly not unique.
Also, when did you actually get these lab reports that you're talking about? You personally, when did you receive the information about that?
Yesterday.
Yesterday. Okay. The reason I ask, I was wondering if in 2008 you had a feeling that this was biological warfare at the time.
No, I had I think my response, and my response is to things like, say, I hear things all the time, every day, all day. People call me and tell me things, and I don't normally have an emotional response to it. I have sort of an intellectual response, and I think my response at the time was, that's dadgum interesting, and is it true? Well, I'm sitting here looking at John, I'm looking at his wife. The next day I talked with one of the farm hands, one of the ranch hands. It's not a farm, it's a ranch. And he was telling me that it was true. He saw the remains the next day. And so I think my response was, well, they don't appear to be lying. They don't sound like they're lying. It's way beyond my ability to wrap my mind around it, but they don't seem to be lying. So I'll put this over in the basket that says, okay, well, this has to be, we have to have some more investigation here, and I'll wait until the investigation is done. I think that was my response, which would be very normal for me.
Okay. And as far as Morgellons disease, what we're calling Morgellons disease, is it acceptable among the MD fields that this is a disease now, or is it just a certain few that are accepting this as a, and it's not really a disease, but as a fact?
Accepting it as a fact has been pretty much shoved down their throat. They don't have, there's not much they can do. That's like saying, well, I don't, it would be like a doctor saying, I don't believe people have noses. It's a fact. People have noses. And, so it's been pretty much pushed down their throats because there's so many cases of it. You can go on the internet and you can see hundreds and hundreds of pictures of people who are just eaten up with this stuff, and close-up pictures of the fibers and microscope pictures of the fibers and lab reports that have been done on these fibers. It's all over the internet now. The thing that's debatable is whether it's a disease or not. Now, I don't think it is. I don't think it's a disease. These are living things. These, I think you pronounced it Morgellons, and that may be correct. I was calling it Morgellons. I don't know which is correct. But these little fibers are alive. And, you know, I don't think this is a disease. These are parasites of some kind. And if they are the same as what Dr. Levengood described, and I showed a picture that is exactly like what he described, if it's the same thing, then it's extraterrestrial.
I found it interesting that during your break when you showed the video, the fibers seemed to have some consciousness.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
I found that very interesting. And did you also say that there are more people in Europe that show symptoms of this than in the U.S.?
I didn't see that. I don't think there would be more people, but maybe a higher percentage. There may be, because in the United States, people are spread out more. In Europe, mm-hmm. they're clumped together more. And so you would possibly have a higher percentage of people that have it. But I honestly didn't notice that statement in the video. It may be there.
And also, can you mention the person who John Edmonds is going to be a guest on, or do you wish not to?
No, and I'll tell you why. Other radio shows don't pay me to promote them.
I understand that.
Yeah, if they would like to cut me a check for $15,000, I'll announce it.
Thank you very much, Kevin.
All right, thank you. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, the telephone line is open, and the telephone number is 623-444-5889, 623-444-5889. Ross in the United Kingdom has sent a flash message that says, "Hi, Kevin, maybe the powers that be are trying to assimilate us into EBs, or, looking at it another way, making the human race more compatible with the EBs in some sort of attempt to let the EBs procreate and become a species. Whatever, it's very concerning stuff. Good work, Kevin." Thanks, Ross. I appreciate it. Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hey, I am Jacob Strandberg.
Okay.
From Tennessee.
Okay, tell me your first name again.
Jacob Strandberg.
Okay. Go ahead, Jacob.
Hey, I just got a question.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think the Morgellons worm thing would do to the plants and vegetables and everything?
Well, you know, I don't know. You mean if it were to infest, say, a crop of tomatoes? I don't know. I did read that, I'm going to say this, and I'm going to put a disclaimer on it. I did read today one website that claimed that genetically modified food is spreading this Morgellons or Morgellons. Now, I cannot verify that that's true, and I'm not saying it is. I read one web page that made that claim today. Other than that, I don't know what effect it might have on food.
Well, thank you.
Okay, thank you. 623-444-5889. 623-444-5889. Possibly the scoop of the century. Possibly the most important show you've ever heard and maybe ever will. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Kevin, this is Brent from Wyoming.
Hello, Brent.
Interesting. I was going to do a Dr. Spock, Mr. Spock. I'm going to say fascinating, but this is interesting.
Okay.
I'm just wondering if Jerry Wills or any of the energy healers out there have tried to combat Morgellons. If any of them are listening, if they could call in and give us their opinion, because this is not going to respond to anything. If it is, as you say, an attack, and it's not responding to any medical treatments, that may be the only possible solution to it.
Yeah.
The other thing I was thinking of is when your last caller asked about the plants, if this thing gets into the soil, I don't know if the plants would absorb it or not.
See, I don't either. I don't know if they need something that's in the human body in order to live.
Yeah.
In other words, maybe they fall on a tomato and it's like, ho hum, so what? I can't use this tomato, and then the little fiber dies. Maybe that's what happens. I just don't know.
Gives you a good reason to start washing your vegetables then, doesn't it?
Yeah. Boil them, peel them, get it down to the seeds inside and live off of the seeds.
Just about, yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Thanks. All right. Thanks for the call, Brent. What do you think about it, ladies and gentlemen? This stuff is falling around us. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hello, this is Chuck from California.
Hello, Chuck.
Hello. Two things I wanted to mention.
Mm-hmm.
One of the stories around about Roswell is that the Grays said we did that to ourselves and that we made that type of skin grow over ourselves. Could this be related?
It might be. Maybe that's their way of invading.
Correct.
Could be. It could be.
And the second thing I'd like to mention is I find it interesting this Monsanto seed may be connected. Because if we're making a transition over to a different biological form, we may need to move to a different type of food.
Hmm. Well, that could be as well. If we're moving over to a new type of biological form, I don't want to make the trip. I'm beautiful just like I am.
I agree.
I don't want to make a trip. I don't want to be half man, half fly. You know, I don't want to be half man, half Morgellons fibers. I don't want to make the trip. What do you think? Do you think we're being transformed into something else?
I have that feeling. I've been watching for many years, and it sure seems that something's going on.
Yeah. Yeah, I think when we jerk the curtain down, it's not going to be the Wizard of Oz, but it's going to be the evil wizard back there.
I agree.
Yeah. Okay, Chuck, is this your first time to call us?
It is.
Well, don't let this be your last. It's good to hear from you.
Thank you.
All right.
You too.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, what do you think about it, huh? 623-444-5889. I don't know that what was detected in the blood and skin tissue of this alien, I don't know that that's the same thing as this Morgellons or Morgellons. But boy, I'll tell you what, the description sure matches the pictures, doesn't it? Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Well, it's John from Mesa again.
Hello, John.
How are you doing tonight?
Doing well. How are you, sir?
Hi. Anyway, I just had a thought, and all of these things are still possible, you know, that it may be alien, but just like we have black projects that put weird planes and flying crap in the air, we wouldn't, you know, we shouldn't exclude that there were black projects making biological whatever's growing out there, and this is something that was a black project as well.
I'm going to buy half of that, but okay. Let me give you the other half. If it is a black project, and this is something that was created in a laboratory as a result of a black project, that laboratory was not on this planet. Because the only thing they would have to use as building blocks for this, the only thing they would have to use would be stuff that's here on Earth.
Right. And we have the table of elements, the elementary tables.
Yeah.
We have scientists making new elements all the time, and if they found something that was different and new before, it wouldn't be in any of the books for what the local people or the local scientists would have access to, and so it would be alien to them.
Well, the thing is, what they're talking about is not that the whole substance is alien. We've never seen anything like this. They're talking mm-hmm. about the proteins, the building blocks that make it up. These proteins are not from Earth.
Well, and there.
And if you were going to build a protein, see, if you're going to build a protein and you're here on Earth, the only thing you've got from which to build a protein is stuff that's here on Earth. So it's identifiable.
Okay.
And
I was just thinking out loud here and just trying to...
Well, maybe it was from one of our labs out there on, Mars? We'll be back right after this.
And you're listening to The Kevin Smith Show, like no other talk radio on Earth.
And welcome back to The Kevin Smith Show. We are talking about some of the weirdest stuff we have ever talked about on this show. Important information, I think. And the telephone lines are open. The telephone number is 623-444-5889. 623-444-5889. If you're not in Canada and you're not in the USA, we understand that international long distance can be expensive. So, for you, we have something called the flash message. You can call that number and it'll work from anywhere on Earth. But if you don't want to make the international long distance call, go to my website, scroll down, you'll see the picture about tonight's show, and right above it is the flash message link. Okay, so you can send me your message that way. If you're in Canada or the USA, please use the telephones. Caller, you're live on The Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. It's Deb from Columbus.
Hello.
This isn't a new subject to me. I've looked a little bit into Morgellons, and it just seems that it needs a biological host in order to be able, because it's a parasite, in order to be able to grow and function. I'm just wondering, is it only geared towards humans, or have animals been infested too with it?
The only information I have on it is pertaining to humans, okay? So the Morgellons is not a brand new subject for us, but I'll tell you something that is. Alien blood and alien tissue having been identified as not from Earth by laboratories.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
This is something brand new. So this is blockbuster. It really is.
Well, it's scary when you think about it. I mean, it's like you said, you know, we can't panic, but at the same time, if this is something that is just specifically, you know, that humans are, or humanity itself is a host for it, and like, say, other biological forms like animals, and I'm talking not only mammals, but amphibians, reptilians, fish, critters like that, even birds, if they're not affected by it and or infested by it, and it's only to humans, then this is some kind of a possible biological weapon.
Well, it may be. It could be a biological weapon. But if so, the problem is the storehouse for it is not on this planet. It doesn't come from here. So whether it's just some weird stuff that has flown in here, you know, through space and is now depositing itself on the planet, or whether it is something that with consciousness and decision someone sent to this planet, either way, from our perspective, from our point of view, I think we have to look at it as we're under attack.
Mm-hmm. Well, definitely. But can you see where I'm coming from?
Yeah.
If it is specifically geared towards just having humans as a host for it to grow, for it to multiply, and it's an animal, you know, any kind of other biological life other than human is not affected by it, then I think this is, you know, something that we may have to have a possible real cause for concern about.
Well, yeah, but I would say we have to have a cause for concern, period, regardless.
Right.
Because this is spreading, and more and more and more and more people are coming down with this Morgellons, and you know, it makes their life absolute hell on earth. And folks, look, just go out there and look at the pictures on the internet.
I have. Yeah, and it's very, you know, if I was not, not bothered by blood and things like that, which I'm not, because I'm certified first aid CPR, I would, you know, be very disturbed by it. Have you heard of any cases where the unfortunate human hosts have perished from it?
I've read accounts that say that this ends in death, but they didn't get specific. And I don't want to seem trite about this, but everything you do ends in death.
Definitely.
Folks, have you ever eaten English peas? 100% of the people who have eaten English peas will die. But that doesn't mean there's a connection between the English peas and death. So, I can't say that I know that there is a connection between Morgellons, and death. I don't know that there is... Mm. That it's a cause of death. But I did read some material that said it ends in death.
Mm.
Okay, Debbie, thanks for the call.
Okay, Kevin. All right. Have a good night.
Bye. 623-444-5889. This is a heavy, heavy show tonight. What I've presented so far has caused some to say, this is too bizarre. I can't believe this. And as I have said so many times, who's asking you to believe anything? Nobody is asking you to believe a thing. All right? What we're asking is for you to have the information and to think about this information. Think about it. Critically think about it. It's not somebody's pipe dream that this Morgellons thing exists. It's not a psychiatric condition. It is a physical reality. Some are calling it a disease, and maybe by some definitions it might be. Some are not calling it a disease. They're calling it a condition. I would say, now understand carefully what I mean when I say this. I would say we are under attack. But that doesn't mean that I think we are being attacked by some extraterrestrial civilization out there. Nor does it mean that I think we are being attacked by someone using bioweapons on us. I mean we're under attack in at least in the same way that people were under attack by smallpox and they were under attack by polio. We are under attack by this Morgellons, whatever it is and wherever it comes from. And I'm simply saying that the pictures of Morgellons, the Morgellons fibers, match the description that Levengood, Dr. Levengood, gave whenever he was describing the cells of the skin of these extraterrestrials. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. It's Mike from Kentucky.
Hello, Mike.
You know, he said that it wasn't any blood type he had seen, I think I understood you to say,
yeah,
from this planet or this Earth.
That is correct.
Could it be that maybe that should have been said, that's not any blood type that he recognizes from the exterior of this planet?
Well, no. The labs said, he was quoting the labs. The labs said that the proteins in these samples could not be identified as anything they had seen before, either plant, animal, or human. Well, a lot of those animals that they have in their database are subterranean animals, of course.
Of course, that's not where I'm going. What I'm going is from the Native Americans who said the ant people lived inside the earth. And it's amazing how much the grays resemble the ant people. And I would not expect that their blood samples would be the same as something exterior.
Well, their blood sample wouldn't be, but the proteins would. The proteins are made from the building blocks that are here on the planet.
Yeah, if they originate from here.
Right. Therefore, no matter where they're living now, they are extraterrestrial in origin. If
Yeah, that may be true. I can't argue with that, but like you said before, we're all extraterrestrial in origin.
Well, we're at least hybrids. And
exactly.
Okay, now, these are proteins that are not from this planet. Okay? So
I understand that.
Doesn't matter how long they've been living here. Doesn't matter if they're living on the inside of the Earth. They are a biological system that is foreign to the Earth. They are not from the Earth. Their proteins are not from here.
So that brings up the possibility that these may be part of the early progenitor race.
Well, anything's possible.
Maybe this Morgellons disease is not aimed at us necessarily, but aimed at them.
And who's aiming it?
I would say somebody within either the secret government or the black ops.
Where did they get it? Because
I have no idea.
Proteins are not from here.
I have no idea where they got it. They could have possibly, I guess it's always a possibility that one of their satellites that traveled out and back to asteroids and things may have brought something like that back.
I guess it's possible. Now, it would have to have been something that was done before 2001.
Yes, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Mike, thanks for the call.
All right, thank you, Kevin. Have a good night.
All right. 623-444-5889. The telephone line is open, and the question is, what do you think about all of this? As I said, I realize this is way more than some folks can put their minds around. And certainly there is no reason for panic, because this all was going on before I told you about it tonight. All right, this has been going on now for at least since 2001, maybe before that. And you've lived all this time since then and didn't know about all this, and now you do. Nothing changed. It's still the same world you lived in yesterday. All right, no reason to panic. But I think we need to know what's happening around us, because the possibility for freedom is greatly enhanced, freedom from disease, freedom from this condition, greatly enhanced if we have information. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Good evening, Kevin. It's Alan from Tennessee.
Hello, Alan.
Hey, great show tonight, man. You sure know how to upset some apple carts.
Well, yeah, and I'm looking for some more to kick over right now.
Well, this is just incredible. I really don't even know where to start, but I was just wondering if you or John had any ideas about if the Greys are actually connected with these critters or whatever he was seeing, the orbs, if the Greys were connected with that, and that sort of thing.
I asked him about that, and he said, I don't know. I'm paraphrasing. He said, I don't know, but I wouldn't be surprised. You want to hang on through this break?
Sure.
All right, hang on. Ladies and gentlemen, we shall return right after this. Stuff that's ever come across this desk, that's ever come across this mic in 11 years of broadcasting. And I don't know. There might be something that can top this. I'll look for it, but I don't think. I think it's going to be some time before anything tops this. All right, back to the telephone. Alan in Tennessee. Alan, what do you think about this possible connection? I'm not saying there is a connection, but a possible connection between this alien blood, alien skin information and Morgellons. What do you think?
Well, my friend, that was going to be my next question to you, would be, did the lab actually make the connection or not?
No, the lab did not.
Okay.
They simply analyzed the material that was sent to them and made a report on the, and I should say the labs. There were multiple labs involved in this. And they simply issued reports on what their analysis showed about the material that was sent from John's ranch house. Okay. But when I read Dr. Levengood's description of the skin fibers, you know, he said the skin looks like segmented grass, except it's not grass. I remembered a picture I had seen of a Morgellons fiber, which, if folks, if you're watching, it's the one in the upper left of this montage of pictures. That's Morgellons. It looks like segmented grass. So when I read that and I remembered this picture, my mind simply said, I wonder if this Morgellons is also alien.
I can see why you would make that leap. It certainly looks like it might be.
Yeah. Now let me say this. I'm not actually making the leap. I'm asking the question. I don't know. I don't know if it's the same thing, but it looks like what he described, and it makes me wonder then, okay, well, is it the same? But, you know, just because something looks the same doesn't mean that it is the same. And so people don't need to, they don't need to weld these two ideas together, but at least consider, is it possible that they're the same?
Sure. One more question, and then I'll let someone else get on.
All right.
Did John expand any on how much of the sample did he get? Did he just get some fibers and skin, or did he get a finger and a toe or an ear, or what was the case?
You know, I'm not sure that I asked about that. I did ask. You know, I said, look, you're going to need more than just a cotton swab. He said, oh, I've got plenty. And I said, okay, well, you know. So he said, I hope you've got them in a safe place. He said, oh, yeah, they're in a safe place. So.
All right, Kevin. Fantastic show. I'll get off and let someone else call in. I've been trying for quite a while and finally got through.
Well, I'm glad you were persistent. Thanks for the call. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we do have time for one more call right now, but you have to be dialing as I speak because we're racing toward the end of the show. And there's a call. Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling? All right, caller, turn your radio down. Listen to the telephone.
Hi, Kevin. This is Debbie from San Antonio.
Hi, Debbie.
How are you?
Good.
I just did a little search after you started talking about the Morgellons disease, and I came upon something I found real interesting on the Star Child Project website.
I know what you're going to say.
An analysis of Morgellons disease as a possible explanation for the fibers observed in the Star Child's skull bone.
Mm-hmm.
Very
interesting. Yeah.
And I haven't done a whole lot of reading on it, but they do have pictures of the Morgellons fiber and pictures of the fibers from the Star Child's skull. And it's very, very similar. There are some differences, but the Star Child's skull is very, very old.
Mm-hmm.
And these Morgellon fiber supports that they have a picture of here are, I'm assuming, are fresh and new. But
yeah,
might be worth something looking into because there would definitely be a connection with it being alien, definitely.
Well, that is, I'm glad you brought that up. I had not thought about the Star Child skull in relation to this, but Lloyd Pye has been a guest on this show many times over the years, and I will invite Lloyd to come and talk to us about this. We'll see if he's willing to do that.
Cool. And I have one more question to ask.
All right.
Did John take any pictures?
You know, I don't know. I really don't know. I cannot hazard a guess because I simply don't know the answer to that question.
Do you think there's, well, a possibility of a body? Do you think he kept the body or someone did?
No, I don't think he did. And he told me what happened to the body, but I'm not going to tell.
Okay. All right. Well, I think you, me, just about anybody I know, we would have been shooting pictures left and right, so I'm sure he's got to.
Maybe. I would think it would not be surprising if he does have pictures. That would not surprise me. But I just have to stick with I don't know because I truly don't know.
Well, maybe when he comes on the show, he'll bring them up.
Maybe he will.
That'd be cool. Okay, well, I'll let you go. It's a great show. Thanks a million.
All right. Bye-bye.
You're working too hard out there. Bye-bye.
There's no such thing as working too hard. Thank you, Debbie. Okay. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that unfortunately has got to be our last call because we're running out of time. And I want to take a little time here at the end of the show to say again and to really focus on this. There's not a thing that we've talked about here on this show tonight that should cause any fear or panic. You live in the same world right now that you were living in 2 hours ago when we started. Nothing changed. The only thing that changed is what you now have in your information bank. More information will come out about this. And, of course, we can expect... The debunker force is over there making up stuff right now. Of course, I don't know what they're going to come up with because Chinese wedding candles won't work, not with this. So we're going to be hearing a lot in the upcoming days about all of this. Very, very possibly. Now, if you don't hear anything. If you nobody on the other side starts ridicule and debunk and discrediting, and if they don't do that, then you can take it that this hit the nail right on the head. But if they do it, you can take it that this hit the nail pretty much on the head. Might have been off a little bit. There's not much the other side can do with this. Any move they make proves the point. Any move they don't make also proves the point. So, you know, it's going to be interesting to see what they do with this. But there's not a reason anywhere for you to panic. It doesn't exist. We're in the same world we were 2 hours ago. My friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do too. You can call me whatever you'd like to call me. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long, everybody.